Welcome to Ever Beyond on Wolf Spirit Radio and everbeyond.info. Be prepared to leave your belief systems behind as we go beyond teachers, beyond gurus, beyond duality, ever beyond. Greetings and good afternoon and good evening and good morning, depending on your position on the surface of this great blue-green bauble that is floating through space. I seem to be going out. My voice is registering on the stream peak. Let's see. So, good afternoon. Today, my guest is and was due to be Mitali Banerjee. I had her on a few weeks ago, and we had the worst internet ever that night, and it was just the most awful thing. Poor thing, she lives in India, and at her time it's 3:30. It's 3:30 in the morning. Their time zone is a half an hour. it's like 4.5 hours or so. Odd number of hours. Anyway, so it is all set up, but I'm afraid she's not turned up. So there may be a couple of time zone issues. So until that time, I would love to speak to people, and I can do ray readings, or I can talk about stuff. If anybody's interested in discussing a bit of stuff there in the chat room. So we are on. 775-657-5973 on the calling. You can also call to wolfspirit.switchboard on Skype or jeremy.perron on Skype, and they will come to me, and it will be lovely to speak to you all. Now, I wasn't really counting on doing a lot of talking today, but that's the way it seems to go, so I've still not heard from Mitali. So do call in. You can call in on Skype or just message me on Skype, and I'll bring you into a call, and we'll see where we go from there. So what a week! What has the week been doing? Well, apart from this stonking old lunar eclipse, that was pretty nice. Now, a lot of people had quite a lot of issues, we've been dealing with and delving with issues of the past, obviously, of childhood, about abuse and neglect and all of these things. So those have been issues that have come up this week. We're at a point when whatever's going to be happening is going to be good, even if it appears bad, it's still going to be good. This is the same thing, you know. I'm talking on a personal scale. If something's happened to you, you know, if you've had some kind of event that's gone on, and it's created some kind of memory or trigger that takes you back to a place in your childhood, and you think, oh my God, I thought I left that one behind. I thought I'd fixed that one. I thought I'd dealt with that one. Well, that energy shows you that it's not completely sorted. It's not complete. And it's a very good moment to examine what you've been, what has been coming up really for you. Things about you know, a lot of people have had the abandonment issue come up for them. You know, people leave, people die, all of that stuff. Issues of abuse. Well, you know, sometimes abandonment can be abuse, but sometimes compared with the abandonment, abuse is not the best option. You know, it's like it's attention, but it's not the best attention possible. So there have been many people that I've spoken to have been facing these issues in the last week. So Saturn was beautiful. We were looking out at the eclipse, and I just when it was rising, it was just about the time of the full moon, it was just, you could see the top of the moon just being darkened a little by what's called the penumbra, which is the shadow of the earth, the outer shadow of the earth, where there's still some refraction from the atmosphere that's playing on the moon, which gives it a kind of reddish colour. The show has started. click on the... Yeah, that's right. Obviously, if you can hear this, then you've managed to figure out how to play. So, it is... I would be very happy to speak to people about their rays. Or any dilemma. Oh my god, I'm really sorry, I'm yawning away. The fire has got this kind of here, let me just pull the lever across a bit. It sounds like a howling gale in the background, but it's actually the air intake for the stove that I've got in this room, and it's, you know, it sounds like, but it's actually just a little stove. Do I read animals? Says Hippo. Have you got a hippo? I've read a couple of animals. For instance, I've read for Dave's dogs and his wolves. I also read my own girlfriend's husky pup. And interestingly, it turns out that he has the same ray energy as she does, which actually doesn't really surprise me. It's not the thing that I do all the time. I'm much. You see, the idea of reading rays is about helping people along with their soul evolution. It's not just like a fortune telling thing, but. What I do is I illustrate the rays in terms of people's own personal and soul energies, so that they can tell the difference between what is the soul energy and what is the personality energy, and that enables people to make the correct choice. If you know what your soul energy is and you know what your personality energy is, you know when you have a dilemma, one will be aligned to one result would be aligned to the soul, or one result would be aligned to the personality. And if you keep making choices according to the personality's preferences, then you'll probably suffer a lot of backlash, because, you know, you're basically making the same mistake over and over again, and the one that ends up in a smoother result, something that is more in the flow, would be with your soul, because your soul is what creates the flow in your life, and that will also give you results from choices which do turn out for the better. You know, there'll be things that you love, for instance, because the nature of soul is love. So that which you love, that which brings together, those are things of the soul. Things that, you know, the nature of soul is love. I know that sounds like some sort of 70s disco guy, but that's more or less about right. The nature of soul is love. So, how do I read animals? I tune in telepathically to whoever it is. And it doesn't sound, you know, it sounds, oh, telepathic. No, not everybody's telepathic. I believe everybody is telepathic. I believe that everybody through their own subconscious mind is connected to the greater grid of humanity, of the planet, of everything that is here on our in our realm. So using a telepathic connection is not something that is unusual. It's in fact it's actually more normal than you might think, and eventually will be the everyday thing. We won't need telephones or Facebook or Skype or anything like that. You just need to picture the person in your mind, and if they're available for a conversation, they'll have a chat with you, and that will be the way it goes. So no word from my guest yet. I'll keep trying. She's probably asleep. Bless her heart. I know, it's 3:30 in the morning. Maybe that's why I'm feeling so tired. Tuning in with my tally. Anyway, so do connect with me. Call in if you've got anything interesting to say. We can chat about stuff until the guest comes here. And if she doesn't come on, well, we'll talk about stuff anyway. So I would appreciate a call from anybody. Tracy, if you've got any stuff to talk about that I've missed on the shows, I've tuned into a few of Tracy's shows this week. Normally it's a time of day when I'm quite busy and away from the keyboard, but it's nice to have it just playing in the background. So that's Tracy there in flagshipradio.com and also turtleislandnews.info. So that's her website, and I would love to speak to you, Tracy. How you doing? Give us a call in. All right. I'm just having a look back on the chat room, and Gypsy's a bit beside herself. So there we go. I'll be boring. No, I think it's a lack of oxygen or something, or I don't know. I shouldn't be that tired. Physically relaxed. We know that when you yawn, it's not always a sign of boredom. It's often a sign of physical relaxation, which I suppose if you're not on a state of excitement, then that may be that may appear to be boredom, but it's a muscle relaxation. So you could call in Hella. Aha. Hello, who's that? Area code 614. Hello, who's that?
Hi, this is Hippo JP. I'm just going to entertain you until your call comes in.
Excellent. How are you doing today?
I'm doing pretty good, thank you. Gypsy is my dog. She's my wolf, and she's starting to have some serious problems. She's 15 years old, so that's why I wondered if you did any type of readings with animals.
All right. Well, as I said, the purpose of the reading is for your soul expression, for your soul expansion. Some people regard me as a medical intuitive. I don't know. I'm not. But what's the dog's? Is it a dog or a wolf?
She's a wolf.
He's a wolf, a proper wolf.
She's just white wolf, Arctic wolf. They refer to her as a snow wolf.
A snow wolf. Okay, what's her name?
Gypsy.
Gypsy. All right, so you've got a wolf called Gypsy, right? This is great confusing.
Do you know what, JP? I can hardly hear you.
Really, really?
Yeah.
How about
that? That's better.
Yeah.
That's better.
Okay, so I've just cranked up that side of the
thank you.
Of the mic there. Hopefully everybody should hear me. Another dog show with JP, yeah. So, yeah, I was illustrating how badly I get on with dogs a couple of weeks ago when my girlfriend left her dog with me to go away. And I had this barking husky there for a week. Drove me mad. But apparently, now he's gone back, he's a lot better behaved and doesn't show his abandonment issues so much. I mean, he had big abandonment stuff. She couldn't Now, we live in a very small town, and there's a small supermarket near where she lives. I mean, when I say it's small, it's like tiny. It's what you call a grocer's shop, you know. And even that, that she would be no more than, say, 50 feet away from him at any one time if she was anywhere in that store. She would tie him up, go in the shop, and he would start howling and barking and crying, and it was like huge drama. It's a real drama queen, you know. Oh, they've left me. And so after he's been staying here, apparently she can tie him up, and he will sit there quite happily.
Well, there you go.
Yeah, so something's been healed.
You're the dog whisperer.
Well, I've been whispering with ghosts as well, which is a very interesting
I wouldn't tell everybody that.
Yeah. So what's the... So let's have a look. So, okay, so what I need you to do is pick a gypsy in your heart.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, all right, let's have a look here. Gypsy, yes. Gypsy's man, ray one, ray two. Gypsy's solid, ray one, ray two, ray three, ray four. Personality, ray one, ray two, ray three, ray four, ray five, ray six. Ah, 2, 4, 6. Now, I've measured, I read Dave's dogs and wolves, and when I was reading his dogs, I would get a 6th-ray soul, and when I was reading his wolves, I would get a 4th-ray soul.
Mm-hmm.
You know, an entirely different soul group, and it's very interesting. So your White Wolf Gypsy has a ray 4 soul, yes, and a ray 6 personality. So there is a you know, obviously, you know, I can imagine a white wolf would naturally be beautiful. So there would be a beauty about her.
She's told that every day by somebody.
Yeah. And she's very loyal and very obedient and will, you know, so, you know, for a wolf, a 6-ray personality is probably best as a pet. You know, you wouldn't want too much. You know, other you know, may want a 7th-ray person might be good as well, but essentially, you know, that she'll be looking for a pack leader, and you'll be doing that job quite happily for her. What else would I say? You know, she would be sharing this. Now, in humans, a 4th-ray often represents a karmic position. It's a warrior, or it's an artist. Could be both. You know, some artists are warriors. You know.
Okay.
Let me just think of a suitable artist warrior, 4th-ray energy. You know, somebody who was like a game changer. You know, in terms of their arts. But how that expresses with animals and companion creatures, I've not really had that much experience, so
okay.
I haven't got really very much to say, to be honest, about, you know, about animals and how they are. But they're all, you know, you have an animal there as a spirit guide. You know, wolves tend to be these spirit guides that will come with you on a psychic journey, as well as, you know, if you go out walkies as well. So, and I imagine that you've had one or two trips with this creature.
Well, are we still together?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. She was my son's dog, and he had to move to Miami, Florida, and it's just way too hot for her down there, so I talked him into leaving her with me. But she's been in the family, you know, the entire time for 15 years, so. So we're retiring together, she and I.
Oh, bless her heart. Bless her heart. Yeah, so did I do a ray reading with you, Hippo?
You did. You did the other day, and I believe I was a 4 and a 7 and 3. I believe. I'd have to look up the archive because I wrote it down real fast on a bill. I don't know what I did with the bill.
All right, 473, really? Okay, well, just let me just tune in and
okay.
Make sure what's going on here. So, right, hang on a second. Normally I ask people to talk a bit so that the air is not dead while I'm doing this. That's why I do this. So could you tell the audience a little bit of anything?
Okay.
What have you learned today?
Well, I was going to ask you a question about the ray readings because it is something I'm new to. I don't know much about this. And when you were talking earlier about if you listen to the soul opposed to the personality, perhaps you'll break the chain of repeating the same mistakes over and over. And I'm wondering, is this the same as meditation and asking during meditation for guidance?
274. Your soul is what you speak to when you meditate, yes. Your soul is your guides.
Right.
Your guides are all your different incarnations, apart from the one that you are just now.
Okay.
Yeah, so it's all that you are, and all that you will be, and all that you have been. So that's why it can guide you, because it knows where you are, and knows who you are, and knows, you know, it is you.
So my guides, are my guides also my future selves?
Yeah.
Okay.
Imagine it's your an amalgamation of all the people that you've ever incarnated as.
Mm-hmm.
And ever you that you will ever, it's like a thread that goes on through eternity.
Okay. If I would like to receive, which I would, more actual third eye imagery, do you have any suggestions as to how
not my department.
No, not your department.
You know, the whole thing about, you know, psychic excursions and things, I'm pretty new to, I have to say.
Uh-huh.
And this is why it's interesting, you know, it's my journey. If you mm-hmm. you know, people can listen to my archives and see how it all started, you know, the first time I was ever on a radio show until now.
I just asked Eagle Flower in chat to. She sent me some sites, yours, and a couple other things about ray reading, so I could learn about it because I'm kind of cold calling.
Yeah.
But it's fascinating to me, and you, I just drawn to you. You just are so sweet and so kind. You come across over the airwaves as such.
Oh,
so.
Thank you. Thank you. That was
now sweet. You're going to tell me no, you're really not that way, but you do come across that way.
You can ask my girlfriend.
Yeah, there you go.
She knows who I am.
And the dog.
Yeah. But, Dolly says, you have to be careful what you wish for. It is true. Actually, you can ask for things, you know, and you ask the universe for things, and you ask your... But here's the thing, all right. Here's the secret to the secret. Have you heard of The Secret? Seen the film? Have you seen the film, The Secret?
The Secret, yes.
Yeah. So the secret of the film is mm-hmm. that you basically ask the universe. Now, how do you ask the universe? The universe is asked through your soul connection.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And basically, if your future world requires you to have the thing that you need to manifest, say, for instance, you're in a very difficult location to work from, and mm-hmm. yet your soul energy requires you to have a space to work from, then if you're going to manifest something, the best thing to manifest is a new space. Because that's something that your soul needs in order to manifest, yes?
Mm-hmm.
So, it's like, all right, your soul already knows that in the future it's going to be out picturing itself, it's going to be expressing itself, and in order to do so, it needs a studio, for instance, you know, artist studio, music studio, whatever. And so it will put into your mind the idea, oh, I need a music studio. And it will give you the impetus to need that to be created. You know, you'll mm-hmm. get, you know, people give you more and more things, and you'll have less and less space, and you really, really need to get out to a new space. And so eventually, finally, you decide, right, okay, I need a studio, and it needs to look like this, and you start dreaming it up. And you're actually being given the idea by your own soul, your own being.
So does the personality have no merit here, or does the personality, how do I want to say this, is the personality, wrong isn't the word I want, but wrong to ask for the things it wants as well?
Well, what you'll find is you have to be careful what you ask for, because it will ask for things, yeah. I mean, if you ask for something frivolous, then mm-hmm. what happens is you'll get the lesson also to show you how frivolous that was.
Okay.
You know, it's all good. It's all good. If it's bad, it's a lesson, so that's good. So if it's bad, it's good. If it's good, it's good.
So since most of us, and I'm included, would like more money to survive on, to thrive on, what is usually the block there?
You're talking to Mr. I've got plenty of blocks myself. and again, you know, what is it? Why are we so poor? Why is everybody who does these shows, who is a great light worker, why is everybody so poor?
Yes. Why do you think that is?
That's a damn good question. I would like anybody who has the answer to that to please call in on 775-657-5973 and tell me and Hippo and everybody in the chat room how we don't have to be so poor anymore.
This is true. This is the million-dollar ha-ha-ha question.
Exactly. Mwahaha. You know, and here's the thing. You know, a lot of time, you know, we see people who are very successful. Mm-hmm. And yet they don't seem to have much of a heart.
Mm-hmm.
And we've got all these people who've got lots of heart, but not much business success. And I think...
Well, do you think this has to do with what you were just saying about the soul, what the soul will let, you know, your guide, et cetera, will let you know that through the dream state or whatever, and it may not be money?
Exactly. Well, here's the thing. You know, to all intents and purposes, you know, I'm on the poverty line or below the poverty line. However,
yeah, well, during the rest of us, yeah.
Yeah. However, I've got a few things. I've got skills. I've got lots mm-hmm. of skills. And every month I get to pay the rent somehow.
Mm-hmm. So your needs are met.
My needs are just yes. met. If yes. a little bit less than just met.
And but, do you ever feel less than grateful for that or not?
I'd like to say that I didn't, but of course I can't. So, you know, we experience life as we experience, and, you know, I'm just an ordinary yeah. bloke. I'm just, you know, I
this is like truth or dare, right?
Yeah. I'm just like everybody else. There's nothing special about mm-hmm. me. And I think this is the...
I don't believe that.
Well, this is the thing. This is what, you know, why here I am, you know, mm-hmm. talking on the radio to people, and people listen to my articles. I'm a really ordinary bloke. I'm an average person. I'm an average height. I'm, you know, built like Homer Simpson. you know, I'm a bald bloke. I haven't got yellow skin, obviously, but, you know, I'm bald, I'm chubby, and, you know, I'm nothing special. I'm not like a super beautiful Adonis of, you know, great attractiveness and all of this stuff. I'm just really ordinary, and I think this is the key, you know. Mm-hmm. I'm nothing special. That means that anybody can go through this process. And
correct.
I do believe that I am going through a process. Things, you know, I'm starting to lose weight. Cancel that. I'm starting to reduce weight. I don't want to lose it because my body will find it again.
I can concur.
You know, I'm getting these psychic gifts. You know, I'm getting the ability to speak to invisible people, let's say, who don't exactly exist on our dimension anymore. And apparently I'm known to the local birds, that I can help people like that. And so I've been getting a stream of disembodied visitors. Mm. And it's very odd. It's a very odd thing, you know.
I photograph them.
Do you?
They show up in my photos, yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so I do that too, but I'm ordinary like you and everybody else. But,
yeah.
You know.
And my girlfriend just put on Facebook, "You are special to me." Bless your heart. And Tracy said, "My voice trumps everything." It's the microphone. It's this $500 microphone.
Well, you think there'd be a way with all these hidden skills that we would all be, you know, living in the lap of luxury.
Yeah. Well, look, here's the thing. We don't need money to be rich.
No.
That's the thing. The whole richness thing is the richness. You know, you want to see how rich you are? You look at your book collection. And if you've read all those books, you've got all that wealth of knowledge inside you.
Mm-hmm.
If you haven't, well, pick up a book. Pick up one of them and start reading them. And get
the richness really is your state of mind. Because I don't care how much money you have or what lap of luxury you're sitting in. If you're not content within, it's not going to make a difference.
Hmm.
I don't believe.
Yeah. So, where we are with your... now, did we get... it was 274, wasn't it?
Yes.
Yeah.
That's what I thought.
Yeah. So, that's... You'll relate on your on that with... With your Wolfie,
mm-hmm.
That's so there'll be that relation on. Now, let's talk about the fourth ray. The fourth ray is the ray that carries through the base center, and is gives the ability to be in the moment and respond in the moment,
mm-hmm.
and it's responsibility. That's what it means, respondability, ability to respond in the moment. So you can carry great skill in action with this personality. All right, so what's the personality for? Well, the personality is for the expression of the soul energy.
Mm-hmm.
So the energy comes from the higher dimensions down to the lower dimensions, so or the inner to the outer, from your heart out to the... to your fingers. So you could be for instance involved in some kind of artistic expression that expresses a group form. You could be, for instance, working on a team effort that would create an edifice. That could be a group, or it could be like a building or a group of laws. And your part would be to harmonize, to bring everybody to a point when everybody's happy,
mm-hmm.
No one feels left out, and everybody gets their chance to express into the group effort.
Ah.
So that's one aspect of a 7-4. Another one, you could be a sculptor. Sculpture. The seventh ray is related to dense manifestation. So it can be the idea of a sculpture, for instance, or casting. You know, have you ever done stuff like that? Metal casting, bronze casting.
Clay. I've done clay work with sculpting clay.
Mm-hmm.
been quite some time, but I do, I always do artwork, whether it be painting or photography, or I mean, I'm always creating in that field.
Yeah, yeah. So you'd be you're forever beautifying the world around you.
I like to think so. Hence the name Hippo.
Why Hippo?
Oh, I collect them. I've collected as a teenager.
Ah, right. So you those little Chinese China hippos and things.
Yeah, all kinds. Yes.
All form of hippo.
I've petted a few too. But yeah, that's why it is.
Lovely. That's lovely. So. So any questions?
Just everybody use your imagination.
Any questions, Ms. Hippo?
Actually, sometime I'm going to call back with questions when I understand more what I'm talking about. I'm going to do some research on the rays.
Excellent.
And then I'll have a whole lot of questions for you.
Excellent. Let's see if I've got the answers for you.
Okay, it doesn't matter.
We were talking the other night about on Soul Express. Well, actually, it was I replayed the show just before this one. And I actually found somebody who'd been reading the similar source material that I've been reading about the rays and everything like that. And that's a rarity. But people like that do exist. I mean, I've been looking for somebody who's a real expert on it. And I've been looking for it for years. And I've found no one who knows any more than I do so far, apart from my original teacher. I have to get him on the show.
You're a pioneer.
Yeah, I didn't realize that at the time. I just thought that I was looking for that, you know?
Yeah. Well, there'll be more and more, especially with, you know, shows like this. And, I mean, I keep learning every day. I'm learning. I've just got so much to catch up on. But I find this fascinating, so I am going to research it and see what it is you are so intrigued with here.
Excellent. So, so if you go to sevenrays.info, I have a site there which gives you so SEVENRAYS. If you look on the front page, you see what appears to be quite a simple diagram, but I could go on, I could speak for hours describing what's going on in here. But it talks about the alignments of the rays with each other, and how the initiations work, and how the ascension process is, and all that. And that's all just from that little diagram. Under the link that says teachings, you can also go to free textbooks can be downloaded, and I would recommend Tapestry of the Gods Volume 2 by Michael Robbins.
Okay.
That's in the downloads page. I'll just post it in the chat room. Just for people who can't follow the instructions there.
Okay. And if I go to your site, I can learn how you got involved with this?
Actually, my first ever radio interview with Rebecca Jernigan is on the Seven Rays site. Yeah, so if you look under the radio shows link, that's my first ever show, so you'll hear this guy stuttering away. and thinking, what the heck's going on? I was, you know, completely green on it, so it was lovely. I have to say that Lynn in the chat room, your contrast is absolutely unreadable. So if you can put a dark text against the dark background, or preferably a dark text against light background, and I'll be able to see it.
She wants to know if she and I are the same soul family, because we have the same numbers.
Is she 274 as well?
Well, she says she's a 273. I'm a 4.
All right. Yes. Well, the seventh ray soul family is massive. Basically, you're the larger part of humanity as it's experiencing now. If you're in, you know, the baby boomer group, which I imagine you are.
I am, yeah.
then you'll have all gone through witnessing the end of the sixth ray and the beginning of the seventh ray. So our parents will have all this sixth ray stuff going on, being sixth ray souls and all that stuff that was involved with them. And we're now moving into a seventh-ray solar situation. So,
would our children be seventh-ray?
Yeah, so most children born nowadays will be seventh-ray souls.
Okay.
But you're, again, a pioneer by being born that in that period of time as the beginning of the Aquarian Age. So, like, you've got Aquarian Age energies.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Yes. And do you think the abilities will come to fruition here shortly within our lifetime, this lifetime?
What do you mean?
I mean, in terms of more telepathic abilities, even time travel.
Every day we see more and more expression of that.
Mm-hmm.
Every day we see, for instance, the expression of telepathy. When you're looking at like a dance troupe, you know,
yes.
And sometimes people just know. This kind of just knowing kind of
correct.
Thing, that's telepathy. And, you know, all these indigo kids and all that stuff, you know, we're all indigo. This is the whole thing.
Yes. That's what I was told my strength was in, just knowing.
Just knowing, yeah.
Just
so
knowing, yeah.
This is and this is the difference between the sixth ray and the seventh ray in terms of spiritual beliefs and teachings and things like that. In the sixth ray age, we had to be told what to believe, what to think. It's pack animal stuff, you know.
Mm-hmm.
In the seventh ray, we just know. It's flock animal stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So instead
it's
of them,
you
see the difference?
Yes.
In the flock there is no leader.
Right.
It's just who happens to be in front.
Right.
And it's more of a position of service than a position of power.
Correct.
So that's the big difference between the sixth and the seventh ray is that sixth ray is about believing, seventh ray is about knowing.
Okay. That's really fascinating. So you see that expanding day by day in all directions.
Oh yeah. And that's why the powers that be are being thwarted in their false flag things. Aside from the fact that there are white hats in there that are deliberately making mistakes,
mm-hmm.
You're seeing all these films of the people at Boston and Sandy Hook, and they're like, you know, gluing on these prosthetics because they're actually amputees in the first place, and they're actors, and you know, and there's blood all over mm-hmm. the place, and it's very obvious theater blood. It's not real blood. You know, people with EMT. Training and you know see right through this whole thing. See, it's just a joke, and it's being, you know, they're doing it. They're all, you know, the people who are perpetrating this thing, they're doing it in all their seriousness. But there's so many people that have to be part of it, and they're just leaving a few holes so that people can look through, and that's what we call the white hats.
And when do you think this grand exposure is going to occur?
Well, it's happening now. I mean, that's what I'm saying.
But I mean, to a point where people can act on it, on
right.
the deceit.
I'm going to give the same response that everybody is giving you. It's not about when.
Mm-hmm.
It's about what has happened. So my spirit guides, they use this word, accretions. So they say, it will happen when the correct accretions have occurred. And an accretion is a layer that is laid down one after the other.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not about when, but what has happened to create the space for that to happen.
That's okay, what, I see.
Yeah?
I see.
But I do believe that in the next couple of months, we're going to see some really big things.
Mm-hmm.
But I've been saying that for ages, so don't worry. Don't listen to me. I'm just the
yeah.
bloke, you know. But we're all waiting for the exposure of the powers that be exposing themselves for who they actually are.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we're waiting for. So it's and this is a process of their own mistakes and cock ups are gonna get them into a place where they're gonna expose themselves.
Mm-hmm. And this really isn't about them being the bad guys, someone else being the good guys. It's all about a greater plan.
Mm.
And the contrast has to occur for the change to occur. Am I correct?
Well, yeah. Well, this is the thing. You know, we need to individually decide who we are and what we want.
Mm-hmm.
It's the old question. You see all these old science fiction films. They meet the guy. They say, "Who are you and what do you want?" Everybody has, you know, those questions. And it's really interesting when you start asking those questions of yourself. Who am I and what do I want?
Mm-hmm.
Because who are you is your soul, like, expression. And what do I want? Well, that's the question. And that's my purpose.
And believing one deserves what they want.
Well, that's all, you know, if you know the nature of the soul, the question of deserve and of, you know, entitlement and all those things, they go out the window, because the soul is just like it is. It has no bearing on what you might feel it has. it is, or it can do. It just
exactly,
is.
Exactly. That's what I said. It's something, yeah. I think one has to learn the difference. I mean, we've been taught, you know, from childhood that, really, I think most people have been taught they aren't deserving, and it has nothing to do with that.
Yeah.
It's changing that belief system that it has nothing to do with that.
Yeah, and that's moving away from the trauma-based mind control systems.
Correct.
Yeah. And this is what really, you know, and I think that one issue of the trauma-based mind control, this is humanity's biggest problem.
Yes.
Because now we're seeing it. It's not just people who have been surviving from MKUltra and people who have been surviving from child abuse. It's like everybody who's been watching TV since 2001.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And so the first thing that I tell to people is if they, you know, if they want to get free, turn off the telly. Don't listen to the news. It's a lie. You know, it's a lie. What can I say? Don't watch the news. It's a lie. How many times have I said, don't watch the news, it's a lie?
That should be the name of your program.
Yeah. Well, it, you know, sort of, Ever Beyond is the name of the program, because, you know, I want to take everybody beyond the normal. You know, we've been conditioned. Trauma-based mind control into thinking that something that isn't exciting and glamorous is boring and mundane and not worth being interested in. Whereas that is the point where you start discovering your own potential and your own expression of your soul. That's where it is. It's in that place where excitement and drama don't exist.
Right.
And so we have continually fed excitement and drama, sensationalism, in order to draw us away from looking inside ourselves and finding the whole universe inside.
Where real excitement lies.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Because it is exciting. When you start to tap into that, it's just magic.
Mm. So, any questions?
Oh, that's about it. I'll do my homework, then I'll get you good next time. But it's been delightful speaking with you.
Oh, thank you very much. Thank you very much.
And hopefully I entertained you, too, for the last hour.
Yes, and what's your first name, Hippo?
Connie.
Right, Connie. So let's just put this on. I think we all deserve a nice bit of Roger Waters. If I can find that. Oh, where's it gone? Nope, that disappeared. I'd like to get more Roger Waters. I just need to find the file manager. I'm looking for some tunes that I've got down on the computer. So, and I'm just... under rock. Where's rock? There's rock. Oh, Radio Chaos. Frozen Comms and Pitchhiking. No. No, I haven't got it in there. Oh, so much for that. Oh, there it is. There it is. All right, I found it. Okay. So, thank you very much, Connie. And
Thank you. And so, have a good night, I guess. That's where you're at.
Thank you very much.
Going on 7 o'clock here in the evening.
It's lovely. Well, have a lovely evening, Connie. And,
okay.
I'll speak
thank
to you soon.
Thank you.
And
bye-bye.
Bye-bye. And thank you, Connie. And I'll just give you some Roger Waters. This is The Tide Is Turning, and it so is. Oh, yes. Roger Waters there. He was the bass player from Pink Floyd. And I think Pink Floyd did that song while he was with them as well. So that's The Tide Is Turning. And I think the tide has turned. And the tide is of consciousness, is a rising tide of consciousness, of being aware. People are breaking away. I mean, certainly the listeners that we've had coming into Wolf Spirit Radio over the last year or so, as we've been building it up, has been quite a it's at once it's encouraging, and another time it's a bit discouraging because there's so few, but it's encouraging because there are, so it's better than not. And I'm here to bring in Tracy Kennedy, who is a co-host here, and she has her own show on Flagship Radio, and her own,
Hello there, JP.
There you are. And her own show on Flagship Radio, and her own website called TurtleIslandNews.info, and you're getting quite a following now, aren't you, my dear?
Oh, it's going really well. I'm just so excited people want to listen to me. It's still shocking.
Well, you know, if you listen around to a lot of the announcers on various stations, they're not always that pleasant to listen to. You have a voice that is pleasant to listen to, so it does make a difference. You know, people think that they've got a lot to say, but whether other people are prepared to listen to it or not is another matter. But so at least you have a voice which gives people a chance to actually settle down, listen. You know, it's very relaxed, and as I said, is pleasant to listen to. With that, here we are. How are we? Like I was saying earlier, you know, I started out as a listener to Rebecca Jernigan's show, Journeys with Rebecca, a few years ago, and that's where I first met you. And here we are. You know, I was just recovering from a rather crazy girlfriend experience, and you were just finding out what was going on. You lost your husband, you became ill, and all of this stuff, and there you were. You know, we all had questions. You know, we were looking for questions, and I feel that during this process of us doing what we've been doing, that we realized that we were the answer to those questions.
Very much so. Yeah, that's the way to put it. And we all did it in a group too. All of us, you know, whole group of us.
Yeah.
Started this adventure together, and it's just awesome. You know, I listen to your shows as well, and I always get really good ideas. I'm like, oh yeah, when you say you looked at something, I'm like, okay, I'll go look at that. I'll go look at this, and you know, it's mutual.
Yeah. Definitely. And you know, it's like the Beatles and the Beach Boys. You know, they listen to each other, and they each time, you know, they took some ideas and ran with them from the other group, and it just bounced backwards and forwards. So, you know, we've all grown, and we're all growing. And you know, you've gone on your adventure. You did that thing at the ledge last year, and you did the outside broadcast thing, and that was really interesting, exciting, and you've also been battling, if you want to use that word. I don't like to use battling with disease these days. You have been having a conversation with yourself regarding what is going on in yourself, in your body, finding out what it is, where you're at with it, and who did it, and how can you get back to normal, or what is normal, and all those questions, I bet.
Yeah, it's a whole battle, JP, with the MS I was diagnosed with. And I don't hear you.
I've muted my mic as well. So every time I do a show, people get this kind of form of dead air. I realized I was talking all the time, people, but you didn't hear me because my mic was muted. Anyway, Tracy, yes. Kennedy, welcome back.
Thank you very much.
Oh. So it's good to have you on. And now, where were we? You're talking about, you just started about battling with MS, which is what, or multiple sclerosis, as which is what you apparently were diagnosed as having. But I think you had mercury poisoning, but that's my just humble opinion.
Could have been a whole poisoning combo. You know, I was the first generation of girls who switched to Diet Pepsi as well. You know, we were the first generation who even had that kind of stuff. So a combo toxic event.
Mm. Multiple toxins. Yeah, I mean, the whole, we're also, in our age, we were also given mercury in fillings, which is a really good idea, if you want to poison everybody. That's a great idea. And as you said, yeah, we were exposed to aspartame or aspartame, or however it's pronounced. The mystery chemical that is in all these sweeteners, and you know, I'm sure by now everybody's aware of what aspartame is or aspartame, and probably also aware of what its dangers are. My own family story is I have a niece who was diagnosed as having, what was it, lupus. And I don't believe for a minute that she actually had lupus. All the symptoms that she had point directly to aspartame poisoning. And I've read so many stories about the guy who was a bodybuilder and was ultra fit, and he was a fitness enthusiast, and he drank Diet Pepsi because he wanted to stay fit. Ha ha. And he died. Because he used to drink this stuff like it was water, he built up methanol in his body, which your body doesn't get rid of unless you drink alcohol. Interestingly, if you get methanol in your body, the best way of getting rid of it is to have a drink, because then it kicks in with the chemicals that deal with the ethanol. But anyway, I digress. So actually, if you have Diet Coke and vodka, it's better than having a Diet Coke by itself.
Good thing.
Give me a shot with that, eh?
Yeah.
So,
go ahead. Said Coke. Yeah, so, you know, been a whole journey about nutrition and what this illness is, and shocking stuff when you find out that there is no actual test for MS. They're calling a lot of people carrying this disease because of the symptoms, not because of any test. There is no test. And when I found that out, I was shot.
But they've got a drug for it, right?
Oh, they've got all kinds of drugs. And then I found out they're all chemotherapy. So the reason I got very sick was I was on chemo for 3 years.
So they basically poisoned you and then poisoned you some more.
Yeah.
Telling
yeah.
you that it's going to do better with the rest of... What a load of... You see, and that's why I don't listen to doctors anymore.
Yeah, me too.
Stuff like that. You know, I... you know, a lot of people know my story, so I'm not going to go into it. But I had a bike crash, and I broke myself lots, and I learned various things about, you know, the medical profession. And I certainly learned one thing is that if there's damage to your nerves, they can't tell. You know, they have no idea. They don't have any metrics for testing flexibility. It's only people like osteopaths and these people have an idea of how to stretch your ligaments and all this stuff out so that you can work again. But the doctors don't have any clue. They're not trained on this. They're certainly, as you say, not trained on nutrition. They get about 6 hours in their whole medical training, about 6 hours altogether on nutrition. And as we've been researching, nutrition is 99% of health.
Yes, absolutely.
So,
they just from the wrong angle, right?
Yeah, it's they're looking at it from, I don't know, from between their buttocks. I don't know. Where do you think they're looking from, okay?
Well, probably that too. But I find that they're still stuck on the symptom train. And, you know, how do we make some money and drug these people without actually taking the time to really listen? They make money quick, though.
Oh yeah. Oh, there is there's the medic police. Tuesday Sonic Green Day. So
time to get.
Yeah. So there was the medic police for you, saying anybody who's battling against rather than battling against a disease, you've actually been battling against the system, haven't you?
Very much so. Very much so.
Yeah. So don't worry. You can have your mic open. And it's you've been finding out more about the system than about whatever disease you've got, because the thing, I don't know the actual statistics, but it's they're absolutely incredible to look at the numbers of them. Is the number of people who die, for instance, from smoking marijuana every year, the number of people who die from lung cancer, number of people who die from road accidents, and the number who die as a result of some kind of medical intervention.
We talked that once, and the numbers were insane. How many die from taking medication in the way it was prescribed? This isn't overdosing. This isn't taking it for recreational use. This is like people who just take medication as prescribed, and it's like the highest death rate out there. It's incredible.
And it's almost like they're trying to kill us.
Yeah, a conspiracy theory guy. Yeah, but it's almost like that.
Yeah, it's almost, you know, without saying it, if you wanted to kill people, that's what you'd do, wouldn't it?
That's how. Here, take this pill. And then you have to pay them outrageous amounts of money for them killing you slowly. And say thank you after.
Exactly.
It too.
Talk about Stockholm Syndrome.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, apparently Stockholm has written to Boston and said, can we have our syndrome back?
Yeah.
Arr.
So funny. So what did you think about that picture, JP? Do you remember it?
Hang on. You might give me a couple more clues.
Okay.
What was the picture of?
JP, a picture this week, yesterday, I think, about the images of the polar drift. And it's looking like a Fibonacci series spiral.
Yes, now I know what you're talking about. That picture. I thought you were talking about that picture of you in the, you know.
No.
Meanwhile, yes, so what the picture was, I'll describe it briefly. It was a graph, and it showed the position of the North Pole relative to the middle of the top of our Earth, and how it has shifted, and it's very plain that it's a spiral that is going inwards. So what
kind
that...
I'm sorry? Counterclockwise spiraling in. I don't know what happens when it gets to dead center, but it's very interesting now. I've just charted it since January 2012, January 1st, but it's incredible, the changes. And I got your message. It's because I haven't done April, have I?
Oh, I see. You're making that graph.
Yeah.
Oh, so nobody else has made this graph?
Oh, I'm sure a lot of people have made this graph, because there's a bunch of us looking at that kind of stuff.
Wow. So, pioneer, Tracy. Excellent. So, yeah, let's talk about that. So, what I was saying in the back, you know, my response to what I saw there was that when a top is spinning down, it rotates, and it rotates in an ever increasing spiral.
Yeah.
And what I was describing is, like, it seems that on a very slow level, but still, you know. Right, so what happens on these coins, you know, it's like a charity thing, and it's a great big sort of round thing, and there's a curving cone-shaped thing, and you drop your coin in there. I'm sure you have them in America as well. You drop your coin in there, and it rolls around the outside like a roulette thing, and it's... gradually rolls. It takes ages to do it because it's just going down on this very gentle slope, and as it gets faster and faster, down towards the middle, it gets faster and faster and faster, until it finally pops into the middle. That's what I'm picturing.
That's yes, exactly. But that's what it's doing.
So
it's an ever increasing spiral inwards, and it's doing it faster and faster and faster. And you'll probably say, so why, Tracy, do you think it's doing that? And
so
I would
why?
Say, I don't know.
So why, Tracy? Why, Tracy? Why?
Well, yeah, Gerald asked me that too, and was mad at me because I couldn't answer. I went, I don't know. I just thought it was cool.
Yeah.
So he said, I find the information. I don't always interpret it.
So have you got longer-term data? That you could draw the outer part of that.
I do. And it was mostly stable. It was just moving from right to left in a relatively straight line. And then just when I finally noticed it, like 2011, it was still pretty straight, and then it started to bump. And then January 2012... I started there because I realized, because we've talked before how, you know, the drift was just going towards Russia. But it's changed. It's not just going towards Russia. It's going away from Russia and then back towards Russia and then back towards us. Now it's wobbling and going back and forth like a spiral.
So what that looks like, it's, you know, like I said, it looks like it's spiraling towards a new stable point, possibly.
Yes.
Where it is dead in the middle. And who knows what will happen then. But I want to talk to you about stuff, right, Trace?
Okay.
Now, not this full moon, which was a couple of days ago, but the last full moon, I noticed something very odd. Now, I want you to tell me if this is normal behavior. Right? When the moon rises in the east, as it does every night, does it generally rise in the same place over the month period?
It should, yes.
Because that last month, and I noticed it because it was the full moon, and when I saw it rise, it was rising exactly due east, because the way my garden is set up and the way I was standing there, I'm looking due east from this position. And the next night, it rose in the southeast, as it did the night after that, too. I am wondering...
Okay.
Is the Earth wobbling in a really odd way? Or are they just moving the moon?
That's interesting, but I would think they're moving everything, because we've had reports from people in the far north of Canada who have said for the last 2 years that they noticed that the stars aren't aligned in the same way as usual. That navigation has been off for 2 years, at least. I started noticing these reports in 2010 more and more often, but it's not just the moon, it's everything is off. To the point where they're having more and more navigation problems the further north you're flying.
So this lends us to the position that it may not be, when they talk about a pole shift, it may not be, we've been talking, I don't know, are you a subscriber of the expanding Earth theory?
Mm-hmm.
And how about the hollow Earth theory? About the plasma ball in the middle and the expansion of the of a shell.
Well, I think that's possible to NASA and with a bunch of other scientists came out last week that it looks like it's hotter than they expected, like 1,000 times hotter. Now, of course, they're saying it's just magma, but to me, data of that kind of change is more an electrical event. Something's happening to us, because not only is it happening here, it's happening on the moons of Saturn, where they're having electrical, it looks like volcanoes. And it's sparking. Saturn will also be big in everyone's sky tonight. So if you're a sky watcher, this is a time you probably can see the rings if you have a telescope.
That would be nice. Hang on. I can't see anything. I can actually roll my chair back and look out a window and look into the southeast just now. And that's where the moon normally rises and where it's been rising. But it definitely rose over Elgin, which is due east from here. It was very, very odd. And I think even my son took a photo of it because he was playing with his camera. So, interesting. Interesting times do we not live in?
Oh, we should. And with a bunch of explosion... I'll be, usually I look forward to April, but I'm going to be kind of glad when it's done.
April, the month of bombs.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we've had quite a few big bangs. Thankfully, we haven't had big bangs. Because there's this big story about, one of the... Navy SEAL was revealing secret information regarding nuclear explosions in American cities and things like that. But I think that's probably going to be stopped. That's probably going to be disabled. But that's a big meme, isn't it?
Yeah. There's so much going on. And as you were saying earlier, the news. And most alternative sites get their stuff from mainstream as well. And then we have to sort through it. It's like translating the data, because the data is always a lie.
That's right. Which deleting all this garbage information just to get to the nuggets. It needs to be filtered first, and that's where the problem is, because it's so easy to filter in the favor of the powers that be.
Exactly. There's and that's been a big topic of discussion. How this was planned. Was planned to become confusing and more and more confusing. Even that's on a Fibonacci series of increasing data, you know, faster and faster and faster. We don't go through a whole day without some kind of nonsense, shenanigans going on.
Remember a couple of years ago there was a thing with, now, what was it? He had an X in his, what was his middle name? Dead, and he was talking about the Mayan calendar, and it's called the Mayan calendar moves north or something like that. Ian X. Lungold, there you go, good old brain, thank you. It's a bit slow in its delivery, but it gets there in the end. Ian X. Lungold was talking about basically the Mayan calendar working on a kind of spiral thing that, you know, represented by their nine-step pyramid, and each step is 1/20th of the one below it. So, you know, the first one would be like 1 or 2 billion years, the next one would be 100 million years, the next one would be million years, and then so on until we get to the top. And what it is representing those years as years of evolution. So the idea becomes that each cycle, however long it took, represented various stages of a level of evolution. And then as each one goes by, each step gets made, then another cycle of evolution, but on a new scale. So, for instance, one might be the physical being, you know, you start off with unordered atoms, and they become a single-celled creature by the beginning of the first stage. The second stage is that creature becomes starts to organize, gets a heart, you know, and then everything builds up from there, and there, you know, so on until we get to the evolution of consciousness, which is like 2012. And what is going on is that eventually these cycles, what took millions of years and billions of years, is now taking a period of days, and then a period of hours, and then a period of seconds, as that cycle tightens up and tightens up and tightens up. And that's where we're at right now, you know. What we used to have, like, how many earthquakes did we have a year? It was a couple of years. Every few years there was an earthquake. Now we're getting them every week.
That and the fireballs. You know, I was looking into that, and it's almost, well, I'd done some research on that, and again, 2 years ago, there was like 200 of them worldwide, and now there's 2,000 of them, and still ongoing. This year is going to just blow it right out of the sky. We're in busy skies. We're in a different part of the cosmos. We've been here before, and I think all the stories that we read, it's why so many of the creation stories aren't kind of alike, but exactly alike. Why there's always some sort of Messiah figure, and he has 12 apostles, and he goes out on a boat, and there's fishing, and then he's born from a virgin. These stories aren't in a couple places. They're everywhere. And there's a reason why. We've seen these things. We looked up in the sky and we go through the same cycles. We live in a golden age. Then we look up in the sky and all of a sudden there's dragons breathing fire. I think that's fireballs. And then there's pestilence. And then, you know, we have to kill the king because, you know, the kings that actually put themselves up as priests, and then there's a priest class, and then we've got to kill them. And these things have happened over and over and over again. I think we're repeating not just some sort of Illuminati plot, and I'm not saying that's not there, just saying that we're repeating a cosmic plot that's even deeper. And it's why, as you were saying earlier, I think from your last show, and that was awesome, that there's a reason why they make temples and government buildings with a certain space inside. There's a reason why all of the ancient things have certain symmetries to them. Because, and it didn't take that much thinking, really, you look at a tree, you look how many limbs are on there, you look how many leaves are on each one, and from that you can extrapolate the entire tree, entire forest, maybe even the entire world. We see patterns, it's how we do it. So of course all of our stories would be similar, and I think we're going through something we've seen before. Maybe the apocalypse always comes a time of terror and anger and fighting against each other. It's not unexpected, and it's because we go through these cycles and have seen them over and over and over again.
So we got these cycles that are coming up, and you know, one description of the area of space that I really like is fluffy. Which makes it sound really nice, a really nice place to be. No, it's deadly. But it's survivable. Here's the thing. I think all of these things are survivable.
Yes.
It's not like we are completely doomed. And here's why it's survivable and why it's people who are kind of ahead of the game that will survive is because... We always survive, yeah. But people who have done the work are more intuitive. If you're more intuitive and you're destined to survive and not just be one of the people who are absorbing all the evil by, you know, passing over, that if you're part, you know, if you're part of the group that is determined to, like, create the new world out of the destruction of the old, in a good way, not like a new world order, a new world, you know, that you'll be in the right place at the right time. If you follow, if you're following your path, if your path is not to be, you know, caught up in a tsunami, you'll be mountain hiking that day. That's what I'm saying, is that If you're looking forward, if you're part of the future, and if you're part of the future, you'll be listening to this show, that you'll know. So, I'm not going to talk about preparation anymore. I know, like, 13 years ago, I was involved in Y2K due to no desire of my own, but my wife was into it, and she made big publicity about it, and I became famous in Britain for being the Y2K, guy who was like, what an idiot this guy is. That's what they played me out to be. And now we're seeing, I said, I know something's coming. Publicly I've been saying, I know something's coming for years, right? And people are bored with it and they think I'm some kind of crackpot. But anyway, I think something's coming. You think something's coming. And the people who sent up IRAS, which incidentally used to be, the data used to be downloaded to the scientists in the floor below me where I worked in University College London in the 1980s. It's really, really interesting. I used to work in this really interesting place, and it was just a very boring thing that I enjoy. But we worked literally opposite MI5. We were literally on the other end of the street from the Tavistock Institute, and IRAS was being digested downstairs.
Wow.
All but unbeknownst to me, you know, it's like I'm this kind of Arthur Dent character that everything happens to. You know, there I am. I'm in the middle of the bloody military industrial intelligence complex. Interesting. Meanwhile, so we've got a fuzzy area of space, a dirty area of space, space balls, and what I'm saying is really don't worry about things. Because if you're destined to be hit by a comet or a meteor or a meteorite, whichever was the one that falls to Earth and makes big holes, then that's your destiny, and you've kind of written yourself into that play, and you know, then you get to go home. That was your thing. Some of us are meant to stay here and live through this shit and have to deal with it and scrape it up and rebuild afterwards. And I've always felt in my mind that, you know, that I was part of this group, that there would be a day, or maybe a small period of time, when we could actually rewrite something and set everything on the right course. That there'll be a very small window of time when the correct attitude and recreates the future. That sounds a bit weird as well. Anyway, there you go.
No, not at all. I think the same thing. We're not going to see these things happen. They are happening. It's happening right now all around us. We've heard people talk about, you know, Project Bluebeam may start, but, you know, it's past may start. Been going on since 2008, all the holograms, the incredible holographic stuff they can do, and the sounds and the sonic weapons, and all of these things are going on. We get traumatized, you know, as soon as you turn on the TV. That's what it's for. Even my son noticed, who, when he was a kid, he used to like watching scary movies with me, and we watched one, now the name forgets me, but just slipped my mind, but it's really campy and it was funny. It was supposed to be a horror movie, but it was really funny. And they redid it, and David said he got up and walked out of the theater because it's just so violent now, the violence and the sex. And if they can put those two things together, the whole desensitized humanity. And we're seeing more and more violent crimes, like horrendous amounts of violence. And people are just numb. Just numb. I'm finding a lot of that, too, that, you know, there's this glossy stare when you walk by people. And it's not so much the zombie thing, I think, that people are talking about. It's the heightened stress that we've been under for so long, and we can only deal with so much, and when we get to that breaking point, we become violent. That's how we react. I hope it doesn't come to that this time, but it sure is looking that way. Not all of us, of course, because, you know, it would have been a short story. Adam and Eve, the end.
Very good.
There we are, done. You know, we all have tales of a guy who builds a boat, goes off with one family, takes the animals with him. No squirrels, by the way. Although unicorns are mentioned in the Bible 8 times, which is interesting. But we have these stories for a reason. And it's not just a small pocket in the Middle East. It's South Africa. It's China. It's all across Turtle Island. we have similar stories. We saw something. And some of us survived it. Did they do something different? Perhaps. Did everyone? No. No, they couldn't have, because some people will panic. A person is great. People have a tendency to be panicky. And with everything we're seeing on TV, that if the lights go out, people will, you know, become cannibals and kill each other. And some people may. But I think not everyone. To be honest, I think if that happens, most people will be gone in a month because they won't know what the heck to do with themselves. Because we've been taught so long to be competitive rather than together. And people on your shows and my shows and many, many people are saying, you know what, no, not anymore. We have to put all those little things aside, like the religions that have been used to control us. And by the way, I think that's every single one of them. And start looking outside and realizing we love this. You know, when you worship the one God and there's the priests who intercede for you, you all of a sudden start becoming disconnected, and it becomes like some of us are better than others of us, and the animals don't really matter, and then the trees don't really matter, and the air doesn't really matter, because you think you're better. If we go back before those kind of things happen, and we're more even pagan, if you want to use that word, although I think that's kind of a terrible way to put it, respectful of each other and the land that we live in, and it's beautiful and provides for us, we change as people. We can sit and talk to each other and realize how many things are similar instead of the constant barrage of this one's different and that one's different and their ideas aren't the exact same, so they must be wrong. We have to stop that, and I think many of us are. The ones that aren't, you can't tell them. You can't make anyone realize it. You can. You can. They will on their own time. You don't know what deals they made to get in this body.
Exactly. You don't know what their agreements are.
Yeah. Well, you have to respect it. You don't have to be them, but you don't have to put them down either. They're where they are for a reason.
Yeah.
And it's good.
Mm. It's unfolding. It's unfolding as it should.
And I know that is so far away from how we've been programmed in school, but to just reach out and realize that other people are okay and they want to be here. And the ones you don't want to be around, just don't be around them. We don't have to sit and put them down. Just disengage. There's nothing like not shopping in a place that's using slave labor to stop slave labor from happening.
Yeah, you have to discourage bad behavior, don't you? Not
that's
reward
right.
it.
And yeah.
That's,
yeah.
You know, I think there's... I'll tell you what will really change the world. If people really, really got the thing about income tax, that would totally change the world. You know, just stop paying tax. What's the point? What's the point?
Look at Iceland. Early this morning, our time, my time here, they kicked out anyone who was in the government that was still hardline wanting to join the EU, and they did it by voting and saying no. All the guys who wanted to do the bailout thing in 2008 when everyone crashed, they've just voted all of them out. Sure, they've had hard times doing what they've done, but they did the right thing, and they're continuing to do it. It's like a beacon of light. Go Vikings.
Yeah, it was very interesting. I have an Icelandic friend. He plays the drums, and we often jam together and, you know, have conversations. He's quite an enlightened guy, sculptor. And I really like the Icelandic spirit. You know, the people that I know, I've met a couple of other Icelanders. So there's the Nordics, right? They're all Nordic. They're tall, blonde, blue eyes, you know, they're all like that. And you know, the hair eventually turns a little bit brown over the years, but it's like, you know, it's more or less blonde with blue eyes. And you know, he's like 6'3", really quite handsome and strong, and you know, it's a great physical vehicle to have. And so apparently the Icelanders left Norway because the Norwegians were too weird. and basically they're like the kind of America of Norway.
Mm-hmm.
It's the new world. So that, yeah, they're definitely doing things in a new way. And what's interesting is that they use the ancient way of naming someone. So my friend is called Alexander. Okay, so his daughter is called Anya, and her second name is Alexander's daughter. So there's a woman who's very big in the news, and her name is Birgit Johannes' daughter. So her father was called Johan or John, you know. So it's like Johnson, but it's ancient. It's like an incredible, very different way of human beings existing to the way that they do nowadays, and yet they've also taken on the world in their own way. It's very interesting. I like Iceland.
Me too.
Yeah.
What they've done is incredible. They're doing what everyone else is talking about doing, but the difference is they've actually
done it. Yeah, they're doing it. Yeah. Now, I don't know why, but presumably the powers that be don't have as much influence there as they do here. They've probably got, you know, control of their own news organizations and government control over information. I think it's a more open society. And yeah, like you're saying, it's the Vikings.
Yeah.
They're very independent and don't tell them what to do. Which is great. It's exactly what America's supposed to be.
Yeah, so they keep saying.
Anyway, we could take a leaf out of Iceland's book, all of us. I mean, I'm living in Scotland, which is a sort of feudal country, ruled by lairds.
Well, you know, point, we all do what we can, right? You know, I talk about the news 5 days a week. Read things that most people don't even talk about. Sometimes it feels like it doesn't matter because nothing's changing. That's my kitty. Maybe she wants to be read. Not now, Missy. But all we can do is get it out there. It's my contribution to the planet. You know, Friday we had a talk on pineal glands and decalcification and the beautiful things that we can do to help ourselves. And, you know, there's been so much talk about DMT lately, but all you need to do is get some sun during the day and sit at night in a place that's really dark. And your body naturally produces DMT. That's why there are thousands of references of first someone's about to go to sleep and then they have a vision, then they hear voices, then they get abducted by aliens or see shapes in the room. It's because that is the point where DMT is being produced. It's like It's like a baby being born. They're flooded with DMT. It's like when we die, we're flooded with it. It's like when we fast, we're flooded with it. There are so many natural things we can do to keep us in the phase, keep us a little ethereal, I guess, best word. There are many things that we can do rather than lying in. It's just might take a little bit of work, you know. Might have to ease. You might have to disengage with things a little bit, and that can be hard because we're told that, you know, right from school, school isn't about what you learn other than to learn the hierarchical basis that society wants, you know.
Hey, Trace. Sorry. I drifted off a little bit there because because it was what you were talking about, the light and the dark. So would it be possible to have a little room that you could sit in for some minutes that would flood you with absolute darkness and then absolute bright light to your pineal gland and then absolute dark? What sort of cycle could we would that be? I mean, do we need like 5 minutes of sun and 5 minutes of darkness? How much darkness before the DMT kicks in? Oh God! I sound this. You could weaponize this anyway. Go on.
It's the feeling you get when you're just about to fall asleep. Some people feel like there's like a jump. It's when your body can't react, but your brain is still active.
That's when the muscle paralysis sets in, isn't it?
Yes. That's when it's happening. That's when it's happening, right then. When you first wake up in the morning, and it'll sound weird, but listen to this little story and tell me if you haven't felt it. Okay, so at night when you go to bed, you're thinking about something really important you have to do in the morning. So in the morning, the alarm goes off, you get up, brush your teeth, have your shower, have your breakfast, you're sitting there, you're going to work, and then all of a sudden the alarm goes off, and you realize none of it just happened. That's because you have DMT running through your brain. You're in that phase.
So, yeah, I try to do that. I try to make sure that I've got something that happens during the day that I've kind of thought about, considered, and planned, and or, you know, just imagined, imaged, like that at the beginning of the day. I think that it's like that's like a kind of mental exercise for me.
Very much. Mm. Now, if you want that experience during the day, and you have time for it, run a bath, turn off all the lights, make it as quiet as you can, float in that water, in that darkness. That can bring it on too. There are exercises you can do. It's also the same state you have to be in to remote view, the same state you're in when you have what they call lucid dreaming. It's that same state, and it can happen all day long whenever you want it. And the more you practice, the more it can happen. Just something simple, like decide before bed what you're going to dream. Or what you're going to do in the morning. 9 times out of 10, even the second time you do it, it'll work. And you have flooded yourself with DMT. That's why we see similar images. That's why we see the blue people. That's why we see visions. That's why we see, hear voices. How many people have been sitting there just about to fall asleep and they heard someone call their name? Or just when you wake up, you hear someone call your name and you're absolutely alone. It's because you're in that phase, you're in that state, and you're just there. And everyone does it.
So, the phase, the state, are you saying that it's not real, it's a realm of the imagination, or that it's a portal where you can step through and go into other realities?
Well, I personally think it's very real. You know, we can talk about alternate realities, and how many movies have we seen like the Matrix, for instance, where there's an alternate reality. It's because we like that. We like it. Why do kids spin in a circle to make themselves dizzy? We know this exists. You know, there's people who call that dream time, and it's just as real. Just as real. Where you can sit there and be not exactly connected to your body, but still feel it. Just like that thing, you know. You can go through the whole motions of getting up and getting ready, and it never happened. It feels real. Who's to say it isn't? Maybe that really happened.
Good. That's the question. That's the answer I wanted to hear. So that makes it all very good. All right. So we got to kick out now because it's 2 minutes to the hour, and we're gonna be joining Frank with the Earthman Think Tank. So Tracy Kennedy, thank you very much for accompanying me the last hour. Very pleasant. Thank you also to Connie for calling in and talking with me for the first hour. I'll have to find another couple of hours for speaking with Mitali, and I hope everybody's enjoyed our show tonight. And Tracy, www.turtleislandnews.info.
That's it.
What time's your show?
My show is from 12 to 2, Monday to Friday, and then 6 to 8 for Trace Elements.
Excellent. Trace Elements. Thank you very much. So, with that, now where's my outro? There it is. Thank you very much, everybody. Good night.